From the WLRN studios at the Miami Herald, I'm Christine DiMatte. This is the sound of a Burmese python's heart. It's one of the most destructive animals to ever inhabit Florida. The first python was caught in Everglades National Park 40 years ago last month. Since then, they've become the most voracious predator in the wild. WLRN's Jenny Stiletovich spent time with a team of scientists for a look at just how far they'll go to catch a python.
So, I won't make you guys mask up as long as
Frank Ridgely is a veterinarian at Zoo Miami. He's standing in the zoo surgical suite. It's got a concrete floor that's easy to hose down and trays loaded with scalpels and surgical instruments. Since he's been at the zoo, Ridgely's implanted radio trackers into about 50 pythons.
So Matt's going to try to keep it mostly in the bag and just get the head out, and we'll see how happy the snake is.
The 7.5-foot snake was captured at the Big Cypress National Preserve. Matt McAllister is a biologist there. He drove the python over in a locked box this morning after scientists decided the snake would make an ideal candidate for a behavioral study on pythons.
The study is basically trying to figure out how to build a better snake trap by observing the habits of pythons. To do that, Ridgely will need to implant a fist-sized transmitter and battery in the snake, then thread a foot-long antenna down its side between the ribs and skin.
So are you comfortable intubating Rosemary?
Once Ridgely and vet tech Rosemary Lucas get the snake knocked out, they attach an ultrasound to monitor its heart, the same kind doctors use on pregnant women. Ridgely works quickly, slicing between the python's scales to open up its body cavity.
You gotta have a nice sharp scalpel to get in between there. I like the Doppler noise. It's like my comfort noise during surgery, right? That does not necessarily mean the snake is alive still, though. I had University of Florida bring me a python once that had been frozen for 2 weeks. And when we thawed it out to do the necropsy, the heart started beating again.
Before he inserts the transmitter, Ridgely asked McAllister to do a quick test to make sure it works.
You already got the frequency?
Yeah.
This is step one, and it turns out, at least for the humans involved, it's the easy part of the project.
The brakes are pretty sticky on this machine, so if I stop, it'll be a sharp...
Matt McAllister, he's the Big Cypress biologist, is at the wheel of the swamp buggy we jump into near the Monument Lake campground at the preserve. It's sort of like a tractor on big fat tires that can take bumps and won't sink into the sand. Jill Josimovich and Andrea Currilow are with him. Josimovich is in charge of the study. She's a biologist with the U.S. Geological Survey. Currilow is a biologist there, too. And today, we're looking for snake C5, or Charlie. Josimovich has coordinates from an aerial flight yesterday that give her a general idea of where Charlie might be. So we head down the trail for the beginning of a grueling day of python tracking.
What do you see?
There's a lion track.
Oh, really?
The lion track is from a rare Florida panther. It takes about an hour to reach the end of the trail where we hop out. Josimovich gets to work attaching an antenna, like you'd see on an old TV, to the receiver.
Are those locusts or cicadas or the... I love that sound.
For the last year, Josimovich and McAllister and a team of scientists have been tracking more than 20 snakes here and in Everglades National Park using the transmitters implanted at Zoo Miami. They're watching when and where the snakes move to get an idea of what kinds of conditions pythons like. That kind of information can be used to help hunters. They only have about a 1% chance of spotting snakes. The biologists are also using the trackers to follow Judas snakes. That's when a snake is used to lead scientists to other snakes, especially during the breeding season when a half dozen males can ball up with a single female. But first, they have to find Charlie.
Sometimes he is in places that are very easy to walk to. And other times they're in, you know, hardwood hammocks or habitats that are just a lot more challenging.
I mean, it's no wonder that you could never find a snake in this without...
Oh, right, right. It's...
You can't see
your own feet. Virtually impossible, yep. So let me see if I can let you hear here. So if you can... pick up that beeping sound, that'll tell us where the snake is. So now we're gonna go on a game of hide and seek.
We follow the transmitter down the trail, then jump off into ferns as high as your head, then back onto the trail, pocked with holes and covered in water. This is clearly not a place for amateurs.
Nice. Oh! You okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. That's me falling into a hole in the trail. Once I dry off my dignity, we follow the beeps until the trail dead ends at a hunting camp. It's one of the few that were grandfathered in when the swamp was turned into a national preserve. We work our way around the camp, in and out of the swamp. A cathedral of cypress and water up to our waist brings some relief from the 90-degree heat.
Back in the ferns.
We bushwhack our way further in for about an hour. We fight wasps and stumble over downed trees hidden in the dense brush. Then Josimovich stops.
You see him?
Yeah.
Amazing.
What we see through the ferns is about a 2-inch square patch of patterned scales on a 10-foot snake. It's Charlie, just a couple of feet away, disappearing silently into the ferns.
Oh, thanks. Oh, cool. So he's
wow, I saw my first one.
Now that they found him, Josimovich and Curilo measure wind speed and temperatures and jot down other conditions. As hard as it was to get here, it only takes 5 minutes to collect the data. We head back, but when we get near the camp, Matt spots a mound sticking out of the swamp.
That's all alligator eggshell.
An alligator nest. McAllister thinks it's empty at first.
Oh, there's the baby gators. There's like 50.
So just be careful. She ought to be pretty close. Yeah.
McAllister says the mom is probably close by. This time, we ignore the no trespassing signs around the hunting camp and cut through it to avoid the baby gator's mom. Josimovich uses her GPS to find the buggy, and we head out quickly. So this is what it takes to find a python, just one of the estimated thousands. Josimovich and McAllister concede it is probably too late for Florida to rid itself of all these pythons screwing up the food chain and reshaping the ecosystem. But they're optimistic that they can do a better job managing the snakes in the wild. In the months ahead, they'll be back again and again, trying to figure out how to trap a python out here with the gators and armed hunt camps and ferns so thick you can be standing on top of a 10-foot snake and barely see it. I'm Jenny Stiletovich in the Big Cypress National Preserve.
There ain't no easy way out. Hey, I will...
And to learn more about python tracking, please visit WLRN.org. This is WLRN News. I'm Christine DiMattei.